1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
And now, the development of language with Professor Husband Ginther.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. This evening we look at a very ancient language that has survived in certain subcultures of our society. Of course, we speak of the ever-evolving and very fascinating language of baby talk. With me is Dr. John Hubble. Dr. Hubble has made a life study of baby talk. Dr. Hubble, welcome to the development of language.
Thank you.
Dr. Hubble, where do we begin with this fascinating language of baby talk, which has survived now some 10,000 years since the beginning of civilization?
Well, that's very true, Professor. Baby talk, we know, emerged once the initial tribes of babies crawled across the landmass between France and what is now Great Britain. After the Ice Age receded, that was all swampland, and the first tribes of babies crawled out of their caves in their deerskin diapers.
Now, tell me the initial stage of this language. Has it changed much?
Surprisingly, unlike English or any of the other major languages, baby talk hasn't changed all that much. Here are some writings that we discovered on a cave wall in what is now Alberta, Canada. And I can translate it for you, also using the modalities and tenors and tones of the language, much like the African click language, as well as some Asiatic languages. Tone and tenor are very important in baby talk.
And this is written on a wall in Alberta?
Yes, this was discovered on a cave wall where they assume there were ancient babies that lived there. They know because they found little spit-up bibs that were... They found one petrified spit-up bib.
All right.
This is saying, and I will read it literally...
Now, what does that mean?
I'm hungry. Somebody go out there and get me some deer meat before I crap myself. Something like that. I'm not sure.
I see. Now, here's a line here I find interesting. It's...
Yeah, that's a joyous statement. And here, of course, we found this scrawled into a cave in China, Western China. This is a fascinating case. The Mongolian babies who rode around on little miniature yaks... they were a tribe that had their own king and queen, little tiny kings and queens that would crawl along with capes and crowns. And this is...
And what does that mean?
All hail King of the Babies, I think. It was during their coronation.
That's wonderful. Well, let me say goodnight to you in baby talk.
Papa.
All right, and let me say goodnight to you in baby talk.
Oh, really? Well?
Did you put that tie on me?
Okay, if you want to play that way. You hit me, you dirty... The Development of Language with Professor Husband Ginther. Until next week, this is John Paul saying... Jesus. Well, that's the development of baby talk. Yeah, David? David Hall joins us.
So what are you, you're doing Monty Python now, is that it?
Oh, come on.
Well, it sounds like a Python bit.
I don't care. If it did, it only occurred to me afterward.
That's still funny. Look, speaking of what isn't funny, I've been getting some phone calls on the thing you did last night on Terry Schiavo. And I want to bring on a kid here. This is Oscar. Oscar, go ahead. Yeah, how you doing, Missouri?
Oscar?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Look, I wanted to mention to you that, like, I like your program, you know. But last night with the Terry Schiavo material, it is pretty hardcore. I mean, God, man.
Well, what, you didn't like it?
What he's trying to say, Phil... You had on some guy talking about bottled water, and he wanted to put Terry Schiavo's kisser up there in a bottled water thing. Now today she's dead. Nice timing.
Well, here, let me see. Hey, Mr. Ernie, look, this is Oscar. You know, like, I dig your show and everything. I think it's so funny and everything. I'm totally down on the comedy, but, God, man, ain't that hardcore? I mean, that's, like, harsh, dude.
Well, I mean, I was trying to make a point about...
Well, what are you doing?
What point are you making?
Well, let me ask you a question. If there's a picture of Terry Schiavo on a bottled water ad, what's the difference between that and a picture of Terry Schiavo next to the Fox News logo?
I don't know what you mean, man. I'm just that...
Well, in other words, everybody's using that woman to sell something. Fox is selling their news. CNN's selling their news. Everybody's selling their political point of view.
So what, that means you got to do it?
No, I ain't doing it. I'm doing a bit about it.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, Mr. Turner, I really love your program a lot. You know, ever since you come on Extra Sports in L.A., I like it a lot, you know, because I listen to Laker basketball. But, man, that was hardcore, you know. That's like, whew, man.
All right, well, I didn't want to bug you or anything.
No, it's okay, man. I listen, but... And see, the kids in our demographic.
All right, okay. Well, look, she's gone now, and...
No more Schiavo bits?
Well, we got one more.
Oh, God. Is it hardcore?
I don't know if it's hardcore. Is it hardcore? It's going to be Steve Bozell, I think, tonight, the construction contractor from Corona, California, who I think he believes, you know, the Pope is dying. And I realize that, to be quite honest with you, not a lot of people have a great deal of interest in the Pope dying. I think we expect popes to die. But you'd be interested to know that the Pope, in his living will, wrote or said he doesn't want to be artificially respirated. He does not want to be kept on any kind of life support. So Mr. Bozell found this out, and apparently that is an argument in favor of what Michael Schiavo did for his wife. So anyway, he'll be up in a few minutes here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we've got a buy request flashback for you. A listener of ours requesting the bit where Margaret wanted to take over my show because I had the runs. Not that I wanted anybody to know about it, but she comes on and goes, "Do you have to go to the toilet?" Going to our web address, www.philhenryshow.com. Click on our souvenir shop and get on into the souvenir shop. Pick up some of kind of cool stuff we got. The Phil Henry Show mouse pad, the new Western Estates Country Club baseball. It's not even a baseball cap. It's a country club cap. Don't show up at the next homeowners meeting without sporting the cotton twill cap, 100% cotton twill cap. Fabric adjustable closure, two metal eyelets, a whole bunch of baloney. You'll know what it means. You can also get your Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts and our Best of the Phil Henry Show CDs. All the money going to my friend's place. One other really exciting announcement I want to make with regard to our website. We have so many people who are, obviously, when you're a Backstage Pass member, you're a member for one reason and one reason only, and that's to be able to own audio from our show, to download the audio as your own. So you can listen to it whenever you want. It's a rare radio show. We're very flattered by the fact that people love the show so much that a lot of our stuff floats around on bootleg sites, on all kinds of sites where the audio quality is really inferior. So what we've done, we've made the audio of our show, whether it's the full shows in our 30-day archives or our short-form bits, available to you in our comedy archives on our website. And you can get it with a Backstage Pass for only $6.95 a month. Now here's where the special announcement comes in. Because starting on April the 11th, the new Phil Henry podcast will be available to you. Now, this is the same MP3 download of the show that you've received for the last year, but it's programmed in a way that allows it to be automatically downloaded to your computer so that you don't have to be present or you don't have to do anything in order to receive each broadcast. So on the 11th, the Phil Henry Media Center, all of this software is what we call the Phil Henry Media Software. It's going to be available to Backstage Pass members as a free download. So once installed, it'll automatically download to your PC, Mac, and your iPod MP3 player every time we broadcast. You'll be able to customize when and how this occurs. And this means that the latest Phil Henry Show will always be waiting for you at your computer and in your portable device automatically. No clicking, no waiting, no wasted time, and you'll have the complete collection of broadcasts stored in your computer automatically. It's the Phil Henry Podcast and Media Center software, exclusive new features offered to Backstage Pass members as part of their subscription at no extra cost. So for $6.95, we are adding more and more things for you guys who are Backstage Pass members to enjoy our radio show. So go to the web address there. Go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, to get more information on what's happening on April the 11th, the Phil Henry Podcast.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Honest to God, I have this comment at least once. I don't even want to say once a week. It's like three times a week. Somebody will say, we heard a bit on the show, and I had to pull the car over. I was laughing so hard. And people tell you that because it's a pretty unique experience when you're laughing so hard, you're afraid you're going to crash your car, so you pull over. And I know people tell me that because they think, wow, you're not going to believe this, Phil. But in point of fact, you're not alone. We get a lot of people saying that. And most recently, it was one of the people who works here, Debbie, who is our marketing director. And Debbie heard our operetta talk radio last night where I was singing. And she said she was, well, she's a lady, so I don't want to say what she said, but...
She said she pissed herself.
Why did you have to say it?
Well, that's what she said.
Well, why did you have to say it? I didn't want to say it. And so I didn't know, you know, I didn't think that singing radio, I didn't know what it was. She said, did you like it? I said, did you enjoy doing it? I said, halfway through it, I remember thinking, what am I doing? What am I doing? Anyway, I think we may bring it back as a weekly bit, operetta radio, you know, where it's sung instead of talked. Or maybe we won't, because I can kind of hear the silence out there. All right, it's time now for our request, and this is a flashback request coming to us from Tim. And Tim writes, Dear Phil, I was wondering if you could play the bit where Margaret Gray is up at Lake Kachuma with Frank, and she wants to fill in and sing for you because you have diarrhea. I was driving when I heard it, and I haven't been able to find it since. Thanks. All the best, Tim. Here it is, Tim. It's Margaret up at the lake, and Phil has a problem. Where are you right now?
You know, Frank and I are just out camping. It's a beautiful night here in California, and so we're up at Lake Kachuma. We're going to do some bass fishing. As you know, Frank is pretty immobile these days. He is confined to a wheelchair and an oxygen tank, but... It doesn't keep him from getting out and doing a little bass fishing as long as the boat can accommodate his chair and his tank.
You're bass fishing at Lake Kachuma?
Yes, but the reason why I'm calling is that not too close to the fire, Frank. Not too close to the fire, Frank. Not too close to the good God.
What's going on?
Well, he's had a little to drink and he rolled close to the fire. Not close. I heard what you said about needing to go to the toilet. Do you need some help, darling? I wanted to call.
What do you mean? I said I ate a bad salad. No, I'm fine.
Do you need to go to the toilet?
No, I do not need to go to the toilet. I said I had a bad salad. Okay?
Do you need to go to the toilet?
Well, what are you, in love with that word? No, I don't need to go to the toilet. I'm okay.
All right, I heard you say that you might have diarrhea. And I wanted to call and help out. Now, if you need to go to the toilet, I can...
What are you, my mother or something? No, I don't need to go, okay? I'm fine.
So it's passed?
Yeah.
The cramping has passed and the gas has passed.
Yes, the cramping and the gas have passed.
All right, because if you have diarrhea...
Will you quit whispering about it? It's fine. I'm all right.
Phil, you know something? I was raised in a different time. And when someone needed to excuse themselves and go to the toilet because they had diarrhea...
Would you talk in a normal tone of voice, please?
Well, look, the reason why I called is I could fill time for you if you're having to go to the toilet.
No, no, you don't have to fill time.
Because I had... Is Mark Newman there? Is the engineer there? Is the engineer...
Yes, he's right here.
All right, Mark, I had him put in the music. Go ahead and roll that, Mark.
What are you doing?
No, I wanted to do... Phil, if you need to go to the toilet, I can do it.
I don't need it.
No New Year's Day. Celebrate.
Turn off the music, please.
No chocolate covered candy hearts to give away.
Get her out of here. There it is. You know, my mom used to whisper like that. And she would say things like, my mother would say this. She would say, and your Aunt Gladdy. We'd be at a restaurant. And we're in a restaurant, and she's talking in a normal tone of voice. And you know that your Aunt Gladdy, she dated a Jewish guy. And I, what are you whispering for? Well, you know, I just don't want to let, because it's that generation. Or you know what? I used to think it was a generation. I think maybe I was just raised by screwballs. You want my honest opinion? I was raised by psychos. That's, you know, that generation. Yeah, sure. Right, Phil, that's right. They all did it. No. You were raised by some psychos. Well, Mom, how you been? I'm fine. You know, your Aunt Gladdy was really something else. And I remember the time she came home with a...
Jew.
and he was the nicest boy. Or here's another one. Here's another one. There is a black man who lives across the hall from me, and he is the most handsome gentleman. I think he has white blood in him. I go, Mom, do you realize what you just said? What? Well, it's kind of racist. Oh, my God, no, it wasn't. I was paying the man a compliment. Yeah, no, but see, you're saying that if he was fully black... I just said he was handsome. I know, but you said he's handsome, and he must have white blood in him. You know, you really make a big thing. It's the whole, you know, that whole whisper thing, though, you know. Do you have to go to the toilet? And your friends are there. No, Mom, I don't. Are you cramping? Do you have gas? If you're cramping, look, if there's a little bit of squirt, would you stop it? You know. Do you have to change your underwear? Did you stain it? Excuse me, but no, I'm okay. Because if you know, if you squirted a little, you just shut up. You told your mother to shut up. All right, 1-800-449. So there you go. I just kind of rolled out the basis of my neurosis. How about you? You know what we ought to do? I ought to get email from people. And this would be like a cool email subject. Because sometimes I think we need an email subject. So like, email me. Well, that's cool. And I like to hear from people. But here is something you guys can chew on. The one weird neurotic piece of behavior that you didn't think was weird until you went out into the world and saw normal people, and then you realized you grew up with weird asses. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, here's mine. My parents talk to themselves. Now, I'd be sitting there, I'm like 10 years old, and I'm playing with clay, or I've got my little biology set, and I'm dissecting a frog or something, and my mom's there washing dishes and just, oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, you know, and the other thing, honest to God, right? It's like, it wasn't quite as bad as Anthony Hopkins in Psych, or was it Anthony Hopkins or Anthony?
Yeah, Hopkins.
Well, who's Perkins?
Elizabeth Perkins.
So was Elizabeth Perkins in Psycho?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not as bad as Elizabeth Perkins in Psycho. But they're just talking like this, you know, and everything. And my old man, too. So I never dawned on me that was kind of oddball until I got out into the planet Earth, and I realized other people didn't do that. And so that's kind of a psycho oddball thing. Nothing wrong with it, nothing violent, nothing against the law. You know, my parents love me and everything, but they're just, you know, kind of off, right? I think that's what happens to a lot of people. So you grow up, and I don't know, you know, maybe your dad spent all night in the basement, and you figured all fathers were in the basement. And you thought all dads had bodies stashed behind the brick wall in the basement.
My daddy buried the preacher in the wall in the basement.
Well, that's great. I don't know, you know. So that would be a fun thing to do, kind of do an email thing. You know, I grew up with, but then people are going to make it up, so then I'll have to delete a lot of this stuff. So forget it. Don't even send me your crap. You know. Here's an email from Kay. He's a captain with Continental Airlines, or she, K-A-Y-E, must be a chick. The name K can be a guy's name. Phil, you kick ass. First, you disc home over boy and leave him in an alcoholic stupor in some bar. Then, not content with this victory for all mankind, you set up a service for those of us with Phil pods to get some without having to lift a finger. Would you consider revitalizing the UN as your next assignment? I also vote for Herb Sewell interviewing Walter Belhaven and the rest of the murderous nuts up at Atascadero. I used to live near there. Great golf course near the booby hatch, by the way. K, Captain, Continental Airlines, Bel Air, Texas. Out of sight. How about if Michael Chavo announces he spent some of his youth in Poland where he was an altar boy and he was touched by the future pope? Therefore, Michael claims he also gets to decide whether the pope lives or dies. Scott. You know what, man? A lot of these ideas you guys are sending me, oh, baby. You know, it really helps when we are completely out of that Charmin just to be able to reach into the mailbag into what are called good ideas and just take a quick sweeping wipe with one of these. Great bit last night, an idea. Clara Bingham, the nurse, comes on to say if Terry Schiavo's parents had only filled out the menu card at the hospice, she wouldn't have starved to death.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll keep that one. And then we have, oh, this is cool. I told you guys about my wife and kids couldn't get off the ground at Burbank. I know the reason why. Some dude who lives near there and also listens to the show and is an airport geek and a real freak and a whack job and hangs around the air sock. He just hangs around that wind sock. Just a lonely man furtively with his hand shoved in his pocket and a backpack and a joint. And he's hanging around the wind sock. So he's got the answer to that. Coming up tonight at 9, it's in our next hour anyway, it's going to be Steve Bozell. Steve Bozell on a debate club he joined. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Father James McQuarters joins us now, and we'll be talking about Pope John Paul, who's very seriously ill, and I know they gave him the last rites. What is the latest I believe the Pope has a high fever?
I feel that is my understanding. His Holy Father has a high fever and a urinary tract infection. The infection is spread down the urinary tract. I continue to feel that our prayers are with the Holy Father. Our prayers are with him, but not that much. And that's a very difficult thing. Because...
Well, wait, what do you mean your prayers are with him, but not that much?
Phil, it's certainly prudent, I would say. You know, with that Irish music going behind me, I can make this sound very benign and almost slip it by you without realizing what it is I'm saying. I want him to die, Phil. I want the Pope to die, so we can get on with the business of electing a new Pope, you know, the puff of white smoke, and we'll have ourselves a drink. I want him to die. Die, you bastard, die.
I heard all of that.
You mean I didn't lull you with the Irish music?
No, I didn't. You didn't lull me with anything. That's the cruelest thing I've ever heard.
I'd like to take it back then, son. Please, son, don't be angry at me. I'm just an innocent old country priest.
Innocent country priest. You want him to die, huh?
Phil, the Holy Father is going to die. None of us live forever, Phil. It's in the plan. God made us finite in his image. And when Jesus came back...
Yeah, I get it all, okay? So what's up with the Pope?
Well, he's going to croak. Now, he's going to die, Phil. And so what I'd like to say is this. Why don't they make the next Pope, here's a newsflash, Irish? Oh, no, but they won't do that, will they? Everyone knows that the image of the priest in America today and probably around the world is an Irishman. But do you think they'd make one Mick the Pope? No, no. They've got to make him a WOP. They've got to get one of the Polacks. And the next thing you know, the next Pope, he'll be a colored. I'll tell you, Phil, I'll leave the priesthood before they make a colored man the Pope.
And what, are you racist or something?
I'm not racist. Why'd they make the Pope an Irishman?
Well, I don't know. What do you mean, though?
Every time you turn on the TV, there's Barry Fitzgerald going my way and Bing Crosby. Well, you know, God the Father. All of that cornball. Now, why don't they make an Irishman the Pope? That's the question I've got. Can anyone answer the question for me? Or it's one of those mysteries. Like, how many angels did it fit on the pin on the head of a pin? What is this, the Nicene Creed? For God's sake!
Father, I don't know how they elect popes. Do you have an inside track on who it's going to be?
Well, no, the word is he's going to be a black.
Well, get out of here.
The word is the next pope's a colored. And that's why it's driving me ape. Because I figure it's high time now. The Irishman's finally got to be a pope. Why can't we have a pope who's an Irishman? Why, what's the matter? Do they think it's going to be all leprechaun instead of kind of a druid thing?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe they think you're still pagans up there, you know?
Jesus. Well, Phil, anyway, that's the update on the Pope. And I will tell you, it's the bottom of my heart. I hope that the Holy Father recovers. But he'll recover, but he's like 81, so how much can he recover, you know? This is Father James McQuarters reporting. I wish I was in the Vatican, but I'm not. I'm here at the rectory in Arcadia, California. Goodbye. Father James McQuarters, the tallest priests. Pain in the ass.
Well, sorry. Why don't they make the Pope an Irishman? Boy, there's a good point. No kidding. You flip on the TV, every priest you see is an Irish guy. And we even had a guy up here where Marie and the kids used to go to church and go to Mass with him. They had a bona fide, bald-headed Irish guy who was going to go down to Downey. And he'd say, I'm leaving all of you now. I've got to go down to my new parish in Downey. And the dude, one day, I told you, I encountered him in the hall. I was picking Catherine up from school, and he says, "Oh, so what are you going to be doing on Thanksgiving Day, Phil?" I said, "Well, I'm going to be watching some football games, Father." "Oh, I'll bet there's going to be some beer drunk at that." And I said, probably a couple of pints. "And who's playing?" I said, "Dallas and Minnesota." He goes, "Oh, well, you know, it's good to relax." So that's the one thing a priest, like on any other, like, religion, booze is bad, but this is the way the priests treat it. There's, "Well, it's good to relax." Yeah, sure is. So why don't they make him an Irish guy? Nah, you ain't going to be Irish. Five will get you 10. Now, you want to do a pool? Forget about who's going to die next. What nationality is the new pope going to be? I got money since they go back to an Italian. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, they'll go back to Italian because the Pollock didn't work out.
What do you mean the Pollock didn't work out?
He's dead.
20 freaking years later, he's dead, yeah.
Well, they had nothing but Italians and everything. Why not go back to what's tried and true?
What the hell are you talking about, man, tried and true? Half of those Italian popes were corrupt and nuts.
Yeah, but the other one was good. What about that midget?
What midget?
They had the little guy.
Pope John?
Yeah.
He's a good guy, wasn't a midget.
About 5'1", wasn't he?
Well, whatever, man. Yeah, they probably will go back to an Italian.
Yeah, I think it'll be either an Italian or a black. Probably be, you know who I heard it's going to be?
Who?
The Junkyard Dog.
The Junkyard Dog, huh? I didn't know he was Catholic. Junkyard Dog, by the way, was a wrestler. 1-800-449, God, you really got to get current, man. 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, looking at some of the information they have here so far on the Pope, and it's interesting because the people... What the hell are you doing?
Marvin.
What are you doing?
I want to change oil.
Turn it, think. Cut it off, man. Cut it off. What do you think you're doing?
Mr. Hall said to change oil in here.
You're not changing the freaking oil of that thing in here. Now get it out of here.
I will not.
You told me no? Is that what you told me, bud?
Yeah.
You better get him on the phone.
All right. I got to ride out to get the phone.
Come on, man.
Bye.
Get close the door. Yeah, David.
What are you doing?
Are you trying to tell me that dumbass is going to change his freaking oil in here? Smells like exhaust.
I told him he could go in there and change the oil. What's the big deal? You're doing a radio show. Or are you too good for some man who works hard for his money changing the oil on his Harley in your studio?
Yeah, I'm too good for that.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's dark outside, and I don't want Bud to get attacked.
What are you talking about?
You know I was sexually attacked in the garage the other day.
I thought you were kidding about that.
Well, I was, but I thought I'd...
Just tell him to bring his bike back in. Anyway, as I was saying, the way they elect a pope is because the people are...
Thanks a lot, Phil.
Yeah. The way they elect a pope...
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to that, huh? I think I need to play.
Turn that thing off. What is that, anyway?
What are you talking about? It's a Harley. It's a Softail Standard. Got it for $15,000.
Oh, a Harley, huh? Look it. Go ahead and change your oil.
All right. I just want to check the plugs. Make sure. Hold on for a minute.
The exhaust. I'm dying in here.
Yeah. What I'm going to try to do? I'm going to pull the plugs out.
pull the plugs out, man. I don't start the thing. I can't breathe. Open a door.
Sorry.
Now, when they elect a new pope, the first thing you're going to want to know is that they puff of white smoke. Would you turn that thing off?
Yeah, it's good.
When they elect a pope, they tell... Will you get out of here? That ain't no Harley. That's a freaking scrambler. That's a freaking moped. It's like a dirt bike. What do you got, bud?
A Harley?
Next time he comes in here to change the oil on that thing, he'll know the reason why. I forget about why the pope gets elected. And not everybody's a Catholic, just every other guy's a Catholic. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our web address is www.philhenryshow.com, and our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Now, I mentioned to you, anyway, here's the thing. Last night, my wife, well, not last night, but when they finally got to Vegas, Maria says to me, boy, you won't believe what happened when we were leaving Burbank. I said, what happened? She said, they asked people to take another flight. They didn't want too much weight. And she said, and then we got on the flight, and then they had to fly literally 40 miles to another airport, and then from there they took off to go to Vegas. So the plane went from Burbank to Ontario, which is like going from, well, I mean, it's about a 40-mile, as the crow flies, trip from Burbank to Ontario, maybe not even that far. And then they took off for Vegas. Well, a guy wrote this letter today. The problem was, because this dude lives near the airport. Now, see, this is the crap that we don't know is going on, right? When you're flying a plane, you take off at the airport, and this is the kind of precautions they take. The problem was the surfaced wind speed at Burbank resulted in runway 15 being out of tailwind limits. Okay? That was runway 15. Runway 8 can't be used for departure if the aircraft weighs more than 12,500 pounds, as a 737 obviously does. So that leaves runway 26, which is also out of the tailwind limits. And runway 33 was in use. The max takeoff weights off runway 33 are significantly lower than those provided by runway 15, and it came down to a choice between 70 severely weight-restricting each flight and going nonstop, or taking everyone and making a fuel stop. So they wound up taking everybody, but they had to make a fuel stop because the wind necessitated a higher speed and you would use more fuel, I guess. So they got these tailwind limits. And that's what that was. And the guy writes, okay, I'll stop being a total geek. Would you play a flashback? And I wrote back, never. No, thanks a lot, Dan. Of course I will. That's from Dan, who's a listener of ours, some dork that lives over near Burbank Airport. So my wife and my kids, their lives were saved. Saved by the wonderful work of the people at Burbank Airport. Thank you so much, Dan.
I wrote it, you idiot. I just signed it, Dan.
Hey, bud, you know your motorcycle?
Yeah.
I'm going to go out there with a hammer, and I'm going to beat the crap right out of it, man. There'll be oil all over the place.
Please don't.
I'm going to. 1-800-449-8686. Steve Bozell coming up in a few minutes on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Flying. You know, I wish I had a thing for planes. It looks like a lot of fun, but I just, because of my basic fear of heights, I wouldn't be able to fly an airplane without at some point realizing that I was at the controls of something hanging in midair, at which point I'd panic, and then I would just go nose first into a mountain. So that's why when you have a fear of heights, that's what happens. You're fine until you suddenly realize what it is you're doing. And I told you the story when Marie and I were in Paris and she wanted to go up the Eiffel Tower. And I said, yeah, sure. I want to go up the Eiffel Tower. Who doesn't want to go up the Eiffel Tower when you go over there? Well, I got up about, I don't know, three flights of stairs. If you've ever been in the Eiffel Tower, what it is, it's just girders. That's all. It's just girders, man. So you're looking down through just strips of metal. And you suddenly realize, I'm just kind of standing here on little pieces of metal, and I can see the street 8 miles below me. And as soon as that happened, I wasn't that high up. I couldn't have been more than, I don't know, I couldn't have been more than three stories. And I immediately grabbed the railing, and I said, I can't, I gotta go. And the first thing people do when they're with somebody who is afraid of heights is they'll grab you to try to steady you, and that's the worst thing you can do, because if someone grabs you, you think they're going to push you. So I said, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I'm going back down. And I mean, I held onto the damn railing all the way down the thing. So if I was taking off in an airplane, and I'm flying that plane, and I learned everything technically, and I knew what I was doing, and now I'm up in the airplane, the thought sooner or later is going to cross my mind, gee, this is a lot of fun. I'm suspended in the air with nothing underneath me. Oh, my God. And then, you know, everybody on board, you better just jump, because Henry's at the controls. Let's go to Jeff. Hi, Jeff. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Mr. Henry, you're talking about aviation. My old man was in ONI when he was the United States Navy. And anyway,
what is ONI?
That's Office of Naval Intelligence. And he was also in charge of naval intelligence with regard to naval aviation. So he debriefed a lot of flyers during the Vietnam conflict. And
now, well, you got to tell people when you say debriefed, what does that mean?
Well, when a flyer come in, then he'd sit down with my dad, and my dad would get information on what the guy saw, if there's any enemy installations or you know, any places where they were camping out, or if they had a campfire going or something.
What do you mean a campfire going?
Well, you know, saw the enemy down there, and they were cooking, they were having a cookout. So
a cookout?
Well, whatever, man. I mean,
what do you mean the Vietnamese are down there having a cookout, huh?
Yeah, the Viet Cong would have regular cookouts. What are you talking about?
What do you mean a cookout, man?
When they were camping out, man.
Okay, so they're freaking camping out. They're not having a cookout. It's called a bivouac, dude.
Who's whack?
A bivouac. You put your tents up and you're, you know, ain't that what that's called?
I don't know. But anyway, he was telling me that he had to debrief a lot of these flyers who had psychological problems, because what happens is, when you're a naval aviator, most of your flying is coming in and off of aircraft carrier decks. Now, the ocean's rocking the aircraft carrier back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's almost like trying to land on a moving runway, okay?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay, well, get this. A lot of these guys would get disoriented, and they would, like, land backwards or sideways, and then they'd leap from the plane and just let the thing fly off the...
What do you mean backwards?
I mean, they had to land it sideways.
The plane?
Yeah.
It came in sideways?
Yeah. Oh, you call me a liar?